Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, coming to you once again on a daily basis. Thank you for downloading us, bringing us along with you on the train, in the car, wherever you're going, to work, home from work, to the gym. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine. We are here today on much better terms than we were here yesterday because the Celtics bounced back after a disappointing loss to the Toronto Raptors to beat the Washington Wizards 117-108 in a game that seemed to be heading for like a 140-131 final. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packer joining me as Jay King wanders the halls aimlessly at the Garden. And Sam, I guess I have to eat a little bit of crow right off the bat. Since early in the game, I said, feels like Isaiah has kind of cooled off a little bit after his amazing December. It seemed like he was kind of not hitting some shots, wasn't finishing at the rim. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe Isaiah's come back down to earth just a little bit. Still great, but not like blistering hot in like he was in December. And all he did in the fourth quarter was go off for 20 points. 20 points in the fourth quarter on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line, and at least 4 or 5 different daps from Floyd Mayweather on the sidelines.
He was absolutely phenomenal. And I brought that tweet up in our little pregame because it was funny, but I agreed with the tweet at the time. He had, when combining his last couple of games and the first half of this game, he had been struggling. He's been kind of forcing some layups. He'd been not making some of the easier layups. In this game, he had a crap load of turnovers early on and was not playing sharply. And then he told Floyd Mayweather and he told everyone what time it was. And it was Isaiah in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was great.
The fourth quarter was very kind of bizarre because it had before Isaiah kind of went crazy, it had the Wizards going on a 9-0 run, kind of making this a really competitive game, and then the Celtics just kind of took over, and the Wizards started taking just a bunch of terrible mid-range jump shots, a lot of Markieff Morris, a lot of Kelly Oubre, just not what you would expect if you wanted to win ball games. But I don't know, there's not much you can say. It's just Isaiah, he keeps on surprising. Like your tweet made sense, because at some point you expect him to come back down to earth, and it's amazing how he can continue putting in performances like this. You just think he has to stop, and then he never does. Then he just makes a crap ton of threes, gets and ones, attacks the basket, and it's all going in. It's just, I'm dumbfounded at this point. I don't know how to explain it.
That fourth quarter is classic Isaiah time. Now, look, in my defense, like you just said, at some point, in December, he was averaging 30-some-odd points a game. He's not going to keep doing that. And through the first three quarters, he had 18 points. And you expect him to maybe, you know, have a big fourth quarter, but not a 20-point fourth quarter again. But he's had more turnovers lately. And I think over the past two and a half games, that's one of the things that I've noticed. He's turning the ball over a lot more, whereas in throughout December, he had this amazing assist-to-turnover ratio. He was only averaging like two turnovers a game. He had four tonight. So that's something that is a little bit different with Isaiah Thomas. And he wasn't finishing necessarily at the rim very well. And through the first three quarters, he shot 7 of 17 at 41%. That's not great. So, and when I say come back down to earth, I just meant that he wasn't blistering hot. But again, fourth quarter, he became blistering hot. He just became, he outdid the first three quarters combined in the fourth quarter alone. What can you say? Isaiah Thomas, for some reason, continues to come alive. And I'll say this, as compared to last night, and I know last night was versus the Raptors, who are a lot better team than the Wizards. This was a much calmer performance. This is exactly the type of stuff that we were looking for from the entire team in the fourth quarter as compared to the panic against the Raptors. Guys were calm. They were working the ball around. When they couldn't get it to Isaiah, other guys took shots. Rozier hit a big three. After that run by the Wizards, they responded, and Rozier kind of capped off that response. Horford hit a big shot. Other guys were doing things. Isaiah was attacking the basket more than he did last night, and he hit Horford with a great pass on a pick and roll. I mean, there was a total team effort in the fourth quarter. They did score 34 points, so the rest of the team did contribute. It wasn't just Isaiah, and that's the difference between this holding off the Wizards versus Toronto kind of coming back and the Celtics collapsing.
Yeah, it just felt like the ball movement and the actions on offense were a lot smoother, a lot crisper. And I think some of it has to do with just the Wizards are not nearly as good a defensive team as the Raptors are. But it just seemed like the Celtics had a lot more open shots and easier shots. And the Wizards were kind of sloppy in their pick-and-roll defense. I remember the Al Horford three in that quarter. John Wall basically got – he was defending the – I think it was Olynyk at the time because he had him in a switch and basically got picked and then just didn't do anything, didn't try to recover and left Al Horford wide open at the three-point line. And I felt like Wall was kind of so-so iffy the entire night, just kind of on the defensive effort. But that's exactly what the Celtics needed to do, is they needed to execute. And you mentioned that Rozier play. It was perfect. They really overloaded the – left or the right side or Isaiah's left side of the court because they didn't want him to drive, and two passes, boom, and Rozier has an open three. So you're exactly what you said last night. You got to slow down to speed up. They did it perfectly tonight, and it helped that they started making a lot more threes. I think it was a 17 again, but it's not just that the shots were falling, it's that they were getting better quality looks, which, you know, it's why this team will win in the future, is if they can continue to get those looks. They've shown that they're a good enough three-point shooting team to kind of put away teams like this in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they sandwiched some really good shooting in between the second and third quarter of really poor shooting. In the first quarter, the Celtics were on fire. Let's see, they shot 8 of 11 in the first quarter. Now, they hit 17 threes overall. In the fourth quarter, they were... fourth quarter, they were 5 of 11. So in the first and fourth quarter, they were 13 of 22. Amazing. Amazing shooting. So do the math. Four of, what did they take overall? Pull that up, 41. So four of, what's that, 19 between the second and third quarters? So you got an awesome shooting first quarter, an awesome shooting fourth quarter, and the second and third quarters of just complete crap. So, but hey, when it counts, you storm out to a lead. That's great. You put the other team in a bad position. Then you come in the fourth quarter, and you just stomp on them and end it. I want to give a shout-out to Jay Crowder, who, after the Utah game, after that mess, kind of went into a little funk for a couple of games. He didn't score even in the next game. And then he's had a couple tough games. Tonight, 20 points, 4 of 6 from 3, 7 of 10 shooting overall. He was a lot more aggressive getting to the basket. He had 5 rebounds. Nice night overall for Jay Crowder, again, after a couple of struggles, which I like kind of brushed past last night at the end. I wanted to see if he could snap out of it, and he did.
Yeah, it was perfect. The first basket of the ball game, just seeing him go, like, obviously he's going to his right because he's Jay Crowder, but immediately attack the rim and get to the line. It kind of set the tone. And one thing I wanted to mention with the kind of the first and fourth quarters is when the Celtics really excelled. It kind of made sense given how shallow the bench was tonight. I mean, they had no Jalen Brown, no Amir Johnson, no Tyler Zeller. We got a start from Jordan Mickey. I actually thought we were going to maybe see some Demetrius Jackson minutes at some point, but a real short bench. They kind of had to rely on a lot of Gerald Green minutes. Although now that I'm looking at the box score right now, the entire bench was in terms of plus minus. I know it's not the be all end all stat, but Jarebko plus 16, Gerald Green plus 9, Olynyk plus 10, and then Terry Rozier plus 19. And those are the four highest totals for the entire team. So
yeah,
maybe my bench theory in the first and fourth quarter is completely false.
Well, I mean, I think there's still something to it. It different guys playing different lineups and whatever. Look, Marcus Smart still played with those guys. He didn't hit a single three tonight. He didn't have the best game in the world. But look, the bench, actually, you look at the bench, they scored pretty nicely. They were a combined, let's see, 4, 5, 6 of 13 from three. So can't blame them for any of it. Nope. That theory's out the window.
Yep. Screw that theory. That was a bad analysis by me, and I'll take the L on that one.
the only struggles from three, Al Horford was 2 of 6 for 33%. But, you know, that's one of those. You hit one, and all of a sudden you're shooting 50%. Marcus Smart, 0-5 from 3. A bad night shooting from him. And this, I don't like some of the shots he took. And a couple of shots were okay, but he kind of went back a little bit to off the dribble, above the break threes, which I hate for him.
It makes no sense because it's like, shouldn't he know what works for him? Like, he knows he should know his corner three percentages. Like, I guess when you play with that much confidence, it doesn't, like, you don't think about that. But, like, the ball goes in a lot more when he shoots the corner three or when it's a catch and shoot three, not when it's just above the break or early in the shot clock three. And it seems like there's no learning there. It's incredibly frustrating to watch. And there was definitely some moments where it was just like, come on, man. Come on, dude. What are you doing here?
Well, here's the thing. I think he plays with that ton of confidence, like you just said. And the learning may be coming later on. I think the function of his role is playing the biggest impact on his shooting. So starting off the ball mostly with Isaiah Thomas in Avery Bradley's place seems to, or any other position where he's not the backup point guard, it puts him in situations where he's not rotating into the corners, on the offensive, on offense. He's not filling gaps in the offense in the corners as much as he is in his other role. So he's in positions when he's not the backup point guard to take shots. He's open in different spots of the floor more often that don't work for him, but because he's got that confidence, he still takes those shots. Now, the other night when he was 5 of 7, it works out. And now you put 5 of 7 with the 0 for 5, and now it averages out 5 of 12. That's still not a bad percentage for Marcus Smart, but now you kind of see where everything kind of evens out in the end. I think in his role as the backup point guard, when everybody's healthy, he just naturally falls into those positions where he shoots better from three and has better opportunities to score. Then at the end of the season, when you have this big set of data, the coaches, the assistant coaches can sit there and pull all of this aside and say, look, look at when you're doing well and look at when you're not doing well. And this is what you have to work on in the offseason. But until then, I think Marcus Smart, supremely confident Marcus Smart, is going to just take the open shots. And we just got to hope that this team is fully healthy so he can play the role that he's best suited for and naturally take better shots on his own.
Yeah, no, I think that's it's a very good point that kind of his role will be able to dictate kind of the type of minutes he's – or the type of shots he's getting. You just hope that, like, at least me, I feel like you would want some in-season learning and you don't have to wait till the end of the season for him to actually pick up on these things. But you're right, the return of Avery Bradley and kind of the return of the regular rotation should help those things. What do you think of Jordan Mickey tonight? He's got the start in place of Amir Johnson with an injured ankle. To me, he had one nice pick and roll. He had one nice block. And then other than that, the rest was kind of blasé.
Yeah, I think that's about right. He had a couple of plays, a couple of nice hustle plays early on. The Celtics broke up like two or three two-on-one breaks early when it was getting really sloppy. They were turning the ball over, and the Wizards had a couple of two-on-one breaks. One of them, Al Horford made the play, but I think because Mickey was hustling back, it took away a pass that I want to say John Wall had or thought he had, and that led to a bad decision, bad pass, and Al Horford made the play. But I think Mickey played hard. I think he did, you know, as well as you could expect. He made some mistakes. He mishandled the ball a couple of times, a couple of turnovers. Overall, I think he did all right. Nothing great, nothing huge, but look, first start of his career, his parents are in town, just so happened to be in town, and can you imagine just coming to see your son, and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on the bench, blah, 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 you know, probably not play, and, oh, never mind, I'm starting. So I think all things considered, he did okay. Nothing great. I'm more impressed. If we want to go off the board, the guys who impressed, I think Terry Rozier had a phenomenal game. You know, 11 points off the bench is great. A team high plus 19. Four rebounds. He's still rebounding like a maniac. Again, like I said before, he hit that big three, but it was 2 of 3 from three. He shot well. Overall, in 25 minutes, I think Terry Rozier, and obviously the numbers bear it out, he had a very nice impact for the Celtics off the bench when they needed him. And like Jay and I talked about at the beginning of the week, after a few DNPs, you don't know how a guy like this is going to respond, a second-year player. I'm very impressed that Rozier has kept his head on straight and he has responded with good minutes after DNP coaches' decisions.
Yeah, that's got to be an incredibly tough thing to do, especially for a younger player with just for their confidence. I've talked to some people who like watched a lot of minutes of Terry Rozier in college and watched a lot of or worked with him in kind of a pre-draft situation. And they talk about how a lot of his game is based on his confidence and his willingness to attack and his aggressiveness. And so for him not to really like have the mental strength to not get down on himself and be able to come right back in the game is downright impressive. And we saw it tonight with just good defensive plays. They had that one nice steal that led to a bucket. He had that incredible kind of up and under move, which I don't really know anyone else can get that except for Terry Rozier. He seems to have this innate ability to finish around the rim, which I'm not going to say is Isaiah-esque, but they do it because they're kind of different. But Terry Rozier has shown that he can finish the rim and he has that athleticism to attack. So who knows if he's even like, because I could totally see Brad Stevens once Avery Bradley comes back and they have the kind of full complement of guards to Terry Rozier getting benched again. But it's just nice to know you have that kind of person on your roster, and it's good for his development as a Celtics and as a possible person that you might want to trade in the future. I'm not advocating for his trade, but you would want your assets to be kind of increase their value, and that's exactly what he did tonight.
Yeah, a nice night overall. Let's check out some of the Rain and Jay's tweets that came in. We'll start with our regular tweeter. I mean, this guy sends out tweets all night long. Daniel Reifler, Reifsy. Nice win for a shorthanded squad. Thomas just toying with them at the end. I like this comeback for the Celtics, the bounce back. Even against a shorthanded team or not a great team in the Wizards. They were shorthanded. They executed down the stretch. They did the things that they didn't do against Toronto. So I'm going to say that this was, all things considered, a very important bounce back win for the Celtics. And at Ati Shep, does Kelly Olynyk know that it's totally legitimate to shoot without a pump fake? Or is that how they scare away the bears in Canada?
I don't think he does know, but sometimes he does it. But it's gotten to the point where it's almost comical with Kelly Olynyk pump fakes, where it's just like, that's Kelly being Kelly.
It's almost like the Charles Barkley golf swing, that hitch in his swing, that it's uncontrollable. I don't know if Kelly Olynyk can shoot the ball without that hitch in his shot. Like, the up fake is just a natural hitch in his shot at this point.
Yeah,
it happens so infrequently.
Reaction, just like catch the ball, up fake, catch the ball, up fake. I don't know.
I wonder if that's just a function of him growing up short and being a guard and always thinking that you have to up fake because he's still not comfortable being 7 feet, and his shot, his release point is pretty low for a 7-footer. When you look at him shoot the ball. And look at Al Horford shoot the ball. Like, I feel like Al Horford was always tall, and he just always knew that you get that ball up real high, it's hard to block. He shoots that ball way up top. I mean, and it reminds me not of Kevin Garnett in the shot style, but when Kevin Garnett released the shot, his arm was like way extended, way up high. So they, as big guys, they shoot the ball at a point that's just ridiculous, very hard to block. Olynyk shoots the ball almost at his forehead. So I don't know if he just doesn't have the confidence to get that shot off when he sees a guy closing in on him. I see him up faking. I'm like, the guy's not even close to getting at you. Just shoot it. Shoot it, and it doesn't matter. If he gives you a little high five in midair, maybe you get the foul. That's whatever.
It seems like a nervous tic at this point, where it's just like it's just like he has to do it in order to keep playing. But one thing I wanted to mention on Kelly Olynyk, I just want to clarify for people. So today it came out that Derrick Rose was going to seek a max contract this summer, and then I quote tweeted that and said Kelly Olynyk was going to seek a max contract this summer. And I've gotten a bunch of retweets on that. And I can't tell if people are in on the joke or legitimately think that I have reported this, because I started it with, I phrased it the same way, report, colon, Kelly Olynyk seeks a max contract. And then Celtics blog, Jeff Clark immediately retweeted it. And I've gotten a bunch of people saying no way and reacting to that. I just want to let people know I'm not a reporter, and this was not an actual report. It was just a goof. The idea of Kelly Olynyk getting a max contract was funny to me, and I don't see how anyone could think that's a legitimate idea.
Yeah. Well,
it's a public service announcement. Now, there's one thing going on right now. I don't know if you still have the post game on, John, but there was a little bit of a scuffle post game between the Celtics and the Wizards. Jay Crowder and John Wall were exchanging some words, and it looked like Jay Crowder gave him a little boop on the nose. Maybe was trying to point it at him, but made contact with the nose. John Wall responded with a little bit of a light slap. And then the two teams kind of, Marcus Smart dove in there, Rozier's dove in there. They kind of had to be separated. And according to everyone on the Celtics beat, there had to be like police officers outside the two locker rooms. And if you know the locker rooms at all, the entrances are right across from each other. So there had to be 5 Boston police officers there. So we saw some kind of scrappy play from Marcus Smart and Bradley Beal earlier in the game. Beal got a tech. But I certainly think it's something that the people are going to be talking about, and I just hope it's not like something where Jay ends up getting suspended for the Hawks games. But you can see they definitely had a scuffle. If you look at Jay King's Twitter, retweeted the incident.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Twitter right now, where it looked like they were talking. They kind of got up in each other's face a little bit. It seemed there was a little point, and it kind of touched the, like a little tiny touch on the nose from Crowder on Wall. And then Wall just kind of batted it away a little bit. I don't think that's anything. I don't think there's going to be any discipline there. They were. It started out with a smile. It started out like they were just kind of like talking to one another, and it didn't seem like it was going to be a big deal. But then words were said. I guess Crowder didn't like what was said.
No, and John Wall did not take too kindly to having his nose booped, but I think that was probably some frustration because he went 4 for 21 tonight and only scored 9 points.
Yeah, he did not have a great game at all. In fact, he had a pretty terrible game. So another little tidbit coming out, Isaiah Thomas is now your NBA leader in fourth quarter scoring. He has, over the course of 34 games, both he and Russell Westbrook have played 34 games. Thomas has 334 fourth quarter points. Westbrook has 327. So, Isaiah Thomas, your new leader, NBA leader in fourth quarter scoring. How about that?
That's a guy who clearly deserves to start in the All-Star game. I've grown just more and more onto this camp, and I started out initially, and I didn't want to like immediately commit to just being all Isaiah all the time because I didn't want to try to avoid the homer tendencies. But I just can't see how you can justify having anyone else starting alongside who I think Kyle Lowry definitely deserves to be the starter in there, but who I don't see how you can justify anyone else. Isaiah Thomas has been amazing, and the lead in fourth quarter scoring, that's what you want your star to do. That's what you want your all-star team. They're like, he is a starter on the all-star team, and it will be a travesty if that does not work out in his favor.
No, I'm absolutely on board with that. And look, I think so. We have the fan vote, the media vote, the player vote. I think all of the players are starting to see what's happened, and they all recognize. And the thing with the fan vote, Isaiah's got not just Boston, he's got Seattle. The Mariners tweeted something out. He's got Floyd Mayweather, who has a huge following. He's tweeting things out about getting Isaiah into the as a starter. I think Isaiah has a pretty solid following that he might get the fan vote. He was up there. He had a pretty fair amount. And I don't know if Kyrie Irving is going to have enough to maybe overcome that. I think Isaiah Thomas absolutely, I mean, obviously deserves to be a starter. Leads the East in scoring, leads the entire NBA in fourth quarter scoring. That's fair. That's legit.
Yeah, and I think enough people in the media, especially the past month, have been hating on Kyrie Irving for his kind of lack of defense. And so I don't know if he's going to get the vote that Isaiah Thomas is, but we'll see. It'll definitely give us something to yell about moving forward if he's not, or that's what we do here. But it was just another amazing performance for him. 20 points in the fourth quarter. Like, how many times can he keep doing this? I know we talked about this already, but like, you just come back and you think about it, and it's absurd.
Yep. And I tweeted in the middle of it all, and I wasn't even trying to rhyme here, but I just kind of wrote a fake lead into a game recap where I said Floyd Mayweather was sitting in the front row, but it was Isaiah Thomas who delivered the knockout blows. Somebody on Twitter, at Celtics Mike, called me out and saying I was trying to rap again. I'm saying I wasn't as good as Millie's, who is the rapper who put our podcast together. I want to give a shout out to Millie's, who says, "Keep going, John. I believe in your rap skills, man." Thanks, Millie's. Now I'm going to grab my pad. I'm going to grab my pen. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to dig in the crates. I'm going to find myself a nice sample, and I'm going to write myself a rap, and we're going to debut it on the next show. I'm inspired. That is not going to happen.
Yo, if you need a hype man, if you need a hype man just to come out and just multiple times, I'm here for that. That's all what I'm all about.
I was going to say, that was such an absurd statement by me. It was such an absurd statement by me that I completely lost you. I think on that note, and by the way, that is going to happen as soon as Kelly Olynyk gets the max contract. So on that note, I think we're going to end the show. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to the Celtics for bouncing back with a 117-108 win over the Washington Wizards. We'll wait and see if the Crowder versus Wall thing becomes anything more. I doubt it, but you never know. I retweeted a picture where Crowder's
finger is clearly indenting the tip of John Wall's nose. So something, who knows what's going to come of that. Next up for the Celtics, Friday night, Al Horford goes back to Atlanta. That's going to be a big one. So we'll talk about that one on our Monday show. We'll be back tomorrow night with more. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for rating us 5 stars. If you haven't done that already, please do. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.